to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live. Radio Sai Thursday
Live. Stay tuned.
Saram, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang. It's now time for us to go to the next segment for this Thursday Live. And this is Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignasa. And along with me is Brother Bhargav. Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So at the outset, we shall all collectively offer our most humble and prayerful salutations at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet and with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, let us commence today's episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspatana Shrunvan Noti Bhissida Sadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vaje Virvajini Vati Dhinava Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So Bhargav, continuing our journey from I to we to He of the Narayana Upanishad, as we were dealing with the opening Shanti Mantra Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu, which we thought and which we were elaborating upon the five different aspects of the mantra, wherein in the beginning, prayatnam, the effort. Second, the
sahavīryam
karavāvahai. The medha shakti that
the second one.
Yeah. Second one that the student should be able to grasp.
Tejasvi.
And then the third one, the amicable relationship between the guru and the sishya. Till these three points we had elaborated. Now, we shall try to ponder upon the next two aspects, that is Sahana Vavatu and then Sahana Bhunaktu.
So, I think, you know, Ganesh, the stage is set. You have a disciple or a prospective disciple who is ready to learn, he's ready to take that effort to learn something. And then he has got that Medha Shakti, the understanding or the blessings that he can grasp what has been taught. And then, you know, you find a guru or you find someone who can actually teach you and give you that knowledge. So next is, you know, the field is fertile now for putting the, you know, the
seeds.
Sowing the seeds of the jnana or the knowledge. So next comes the, you know, the taking the teachings of the guru and then trying to inculcate, try to understand, internalize, you know, say we have these three things called as Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. So the Shravanam, listening to what the guru says and then thinking about it and trying to understand them deeply within. So this is the next process which actually comes, which is called where Sahana Vavatu, Sahanau Avatu means let us learn. And actually, the meaning of this Ganesh is actually protect us from wrong understanding, protect us from anything wrong. So this, you know, why we have got into this interpretation of having jnanam, you know, it sounds strange. You know, telling that protect us, both, where is this jnanam coming? But, you know, the actual protection which anyone can get is when you have the true understanding of your true nature, of your real nature, you know, when you don't have any wrong understanding, you don't have distraction, you don't have ignorance and anything of that sort. That will only happen when we get the real jnanam, you know, the understanding that what we are and what is our relationship with this nature and with the Supreme Brahman and all that. So I think that's why we framed it as sahana avatu means protection can be only gained when we know our true nature. Then only you get the fearlessness, you know, the true nature of you comes out. And then it comes out like an effulgence. Yeah? It manifests for everyone to see.
Because it's very beautiful that you have classified knowledge or the understanding or jnana into two different things.
Mm.
One, yes, it is knowledge, but knowledge of what is that we have to try to understand. Because Swami, from the point of scratch, Swami keeps telling, giving the example of the dhobi who comes regularly to our hostel to pick up our clothes. Nowadays, the students keep on gathering knowledge from the books, which is only bookish knowledge. And all of us lack common sense.
Yes.
So Swami starts from that point, being the ultimate guru. Every aspect that is required for a smooth functioning of the daily life, Swami starts with that.
Correct.
Because spirituality or perfection lies in doing small things perfectly.
Correct.
So,
you know, I am reminded of a nice Zen story, because, you know, once a prospective disciple, you know, he's has that, he's got a lot of wealth with him and all that. He tells, everything else I have, I just need to get some jnanam, some knowledge which will make me more happy. So he just goes, finds out and goes to a Zen master who's a very accomplished, a lot of renown, accomplished master. So he just goes to his place, to his abode. And then, you know, as a normal custom, he leaves the chappals or his
sandals.
Sandals or the foot slippers outside. And then goes inside, and then he's ushered in into the presence of the master. So the master says, Master, I want to learn what is the spiritual knowledge. What is it actually that makes you happy, makes you beyond, go beyond sorrow and the dualities of life? You know, he will be like sitting there and trying to think that, wow, he'll come, he'll give me some revelation, and, you know, I'll be in some bliss or something. The Zen master just puts a question which like stumps him. He says, can you tell me where do you leave your chappals? Which place exactly did you leave? Which side of the, you know, of the compound, of the room or whatever? He was like, he'll be like shocked. He didn't understand what to answer. He said, I just left it somewhere and came. He told, when you don't have an awareness of what is happening around you,
exactly,
you don't have an awareness of where you have left your own chappals, what will you understand about the awareness of the whole Brahman, the whole universe, the Atman which pervades the whole universe? You know, when you talk about common sense, Swami talks about the same. So, he says, first try to be aware of what is happening around you, what is happening, the sensations which happen in your body, in your mind, around you, what you do. If you are sensitive, if you are aware of those things, slowly your awareness will go into your mind and you will try to know what your true nature is.
Exactly.
That's the first step. So, you know, it's a very simple thing to actually say, what is there? But are we aware what we are doing? Every moment what we are doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what Swami told, like, I just remember, Swami is like a master of Zen masters.
Exactly.
So, when he says common sense, this is the most commonest of common sense.
So, what to learn and what not to learn is the basic knowledge which we have to gain.
Yes.
So, because the first, the experiences or the explanations that we are going to give now to this particular aspect is going to clear out this particular doubt in our minds.
Yes.
What is right? What is wrong? That is the actual knowledge that we have to gain.
And one more thing, Ganesh, this, like, I just want to point out one more aspect in this. You know, someone will think that, see, I've gone to a teacher. He's teaching me, he or she's teaching me. How sure I am that the teacher who's teaching me is really genuine, or he's really the one who's I'm looking for? You know, there's also a beautiful answer for this. You know, I think one of the masters, I think Paramacharya, Kanchi, the previous, he used to call a living, walking sage. He told a beautiful statement. He told, you know, if the disciple or the shishya has the Shraddha, has the faith, has the burning desire to know what the truth is, that desire, that burning desire, that Shraddha and that sincerity to learn will take him to the goal, him or her to the goal. It is not important whether the guru is genuine or not. So, he says, you know, the disciple's worth the disciple's heart, what he's actually pining for, will directly take him to the goal. So, you know, we should not again worry that, okay, for us it is not at all a worry, because, you know, whoever teaches us, finally it is Swami who's going to, we have that feeling that Swami is going to teach through anyone when it comes to us. But otherwise also, we should not think too much about whether the teacher is worthy or not, because that's in the present world, we don't know who's teaching what. So that is a very nice relief for us when we say that, okay, if we have that sincerity, that Shraddha, and that zeal to learn, that zeal and that Shraddha will take you.
Actually, the underlying current of this entire mantra is the Shraddha of the student.
Correct, correct.
More than the effort of the guru, it is the zeal with which the Shishya approaches the guru, or approaches his way of learning, is most important.
Correct. You know, we had pointed out last week also that finally it comes down to the guru who is inside you. The guru should have a contact. You know, I remember one more very sweet incident. One of our brothers who had asked Swami for guidance, I think when he was just passed out, he was actually wanted to start an orphanage for children and all that. So then he asked Swami, who is my real guru? Whom should I actually follow? Swami told him point blank, like very, very clearly, sternly to him, that your real guru is not this showing himself. Your real guru is inside you. You should always try to follow that guru who is always telling you from inside what is truth, what is not, what is correct, what is wrong. So you always follow that. That is the only path to success. That's the only path to reach the goal. So, you know, we should always keep that aspect also alive when we talk about this Sahana Bhavatu mantra, that,
exactly.
You know, the guru is anyway not external always. I don't say always. It's actually always. Should always be the internal guru who we should finally go as a refuge to, should be the inner guru who is guiding us always. We should just have to probably identify him and follow him.
I still remember Habbu sir, Professor Habbu, who was the former principal of the higher secondary school, and also he used to teach us history.
Yeah.
So he used to tell us in the moral class when about Buddha, when his disciples come during the last stages of Buddha, oh Lord, please give us the understanding or the ultimate knowledge. How do we attain self-realization? And then Buddha tells, Uddared Atman Atmanam. You are the one, you have to redeem yourself. It's not somebody else who is outside you who can redeem you.
Correct.
So that is the kind of, even Buddha attains Nirvana only by the aspect of meditation.
Correct.
He goes inward and then finally he realizes what is truth, what is untruth, what is real and what is unreal.
Yes.
So now when we come to this aspect of Sahana Bhavatu, protect us from wrong understanding and protect us from ignorance and distraction. So maybe we'll come from the back aspect, the distraction. So how is one distracted? So when we talk of this, when we were in our student days, we have so many distractions.
Correct.
And Swami continuously, he used to tell, as Vidyardhi, the meaning of Vidyardhi is, you have to aspire only for education.
Correct.
And that age, being the monkey mind so very active in that particular period, thinks of so many other things other than education.
Correct.
So one particular incident which we are going to discuss, how sweetly, how lovingly Swami guides a distracted mind to the right direction.
You know, Ganesh, it is even more apt now, because probably that time we didn't have so many distractions. Now the distractions are multifold. You know, you have internet, you have social media, you have all sorts of things now, which distract the youngsters or this present young generation even more. So these words will be really pearls of wisdom for them, what Swami has told.
This is a story of one elder sister from Anantapur campus. She had this habit at the age of 16 to read a lot of novels. And she, coming from a family of Swami's devotees and who used to attend Swami's discourses, she heard a lot about love.
Okay.
Swami talking about love. So taking that aspect in that age, her mindset was like, see, Swami told us so much about love. Why not read about love? So, and then she started reading a lot of novels.
Romantic stories. Okay.
And then lot of love stories. And she had this continuous habit, and she got admitted into Anantapur campus. And to her utter surprise, none of the other students who joined the college were reading such kind of novels. Everybody was holding a book on Atmajnana or spiritual books or realization, some kind of hi-fi philosophy. And then she was wondering, when Swami talked about love, why is it not that they are reading such kind of books? And then one of our lecturers told her that, see, this is not the kind of love that Swami talks about. And then the teacher guides her, telling, see, don't read such books. But she was not convinced about what her teacher was telling. And then she continued reading her books. And then she crossed 18, and then obviously she finished her, I think, BA and then B.Ed. And she becoming an adult, she thought, yes, my mind is free now and I have all the freedom to read whatever I want. And she continued. Once what happened, Swami came to her dream. And then he told, stop reading novels. And in the dream, she was fighting with Swami that, Swami, it's my passion to read novels. They are all good books. Why should I stop reading? Swami very lovingly but sternly tells, stop reading. And then she requests Swami, Swami, please at least let me read one or two good books. Swami tells her very firmly, stop reading novels. And then she is taken aback and she is very disappointed. She gets up and she thinks, yes, Swami has given me this guidance. Now I should stop reading. So she stops reading books. After a few days, means her mind is so disturbed because she had that voracious reading habit.
Yeah.
Swami comes to her dream and tells her, start reading Bhagavad Gita.
Wow.
And from childhood, not having an inclination to read spiritual books, she was all the more dumbfounded. And she thought, Swami, this is very difficult for me. But Swami, as so loving he is, Swami tells her, read one shloka a day, that's all.
Wow, beautiful.
And then she gets up, tells her mother that see, Swami had come to my dream and he has guided me to read Bhagavad Gita. And then her mother gives her a Bhagavad Gita book. She worked as a teacher. And then one darshan, when she was holding this book of Bhagavad Gita in her hand, Swami takes it so lovingly and signs on the book.
Wow.
Giving a confirmation that, yes, you are on the right path. So, how Swami has guided a distracted mind towards the right direction?
You know, when you talk about Vidyarthi, you know, I remember one very sweet shloka. I think we remember, again, going back to our school days, a very nice, we used to have Subhashitani. Means we used to have the small shlokas which tells you the real truths of life. So, one of them was on Vidyarthi, on a student, who actually a student should be. And, you know, the lessons which a student can learn from the nature. So, how a student should actually be when he gets into the habit of
learning
and gaining knowledge. So, the shloka goes like, Kaka Chesta, Bako Dhyanam, Shwan Nidra, Tathayvacha, Alpahari Gruhatyagi, Vidyarthi Panchadakshanam. Means, his effort should be like a crow. Means when, you know, when if you notice, once a crow starts, decides to pick up something, it
will not leave at all.
It, come whatever may, that effort will fructify, then till that time it will not stop. That is Kaka Chesta. Bako Dhyanam, you know how a crane stands on one leg.
Stands still.
Still and one pointed in the pond. So that when a fish comes, picks it up. So that is one-pointedness. First is effort. Second is one-pointedness, like a crane. Shwana Nidra, you know, a dog, you know how it sleeps. Even a small snapping,
sound, it just very, very alert.
Very alert, very alert. Swami has somberlu antar. Means we all like, we sleep like logs.
Lost in slumber.
Should not be like that. Should be, sleep should be like the sleep of a dog. Very, very alert. Even a small snapping sound or any small sound, get up. And then alpahari means, you know, should not fill your tummy so much that you get into sloth again. Should eat only moderately, whatever is needed. And then Gurhatyagi means, you know, like what we do here as a hostler. You leave your, you know, the relationship which you have with your parents. And like, because when you come for studying, you should concentrate totally on studies. No other thought should distract you. So there are five, you know, very special qualities, sweet qualities, which should have, according to one of the Subhashitani, Kaka Cheshta, Vako Dhyanam, Shwana Nidra, Alpahari, Gurhatyagi. I just thought I'll, to get into this, you know, the ideal qualities of a student.
Yes. And then when we come to ignorance, so how Swami dispels the ignorance in our mind. Now, how to dispel the ignorance? So before that, we should understand properly what is right, what is wrong, and how to go in the proper direction. So now, the wrong understanding, how does the Guru protect us from wrong understanding?
Yeah.
I think it's, we shall discuss about a very sweet experience of a student wherein his interest of practicing meditation
okay.
Develops so vigorously, like a fire,
intensely
when Swami talks about Hatha Yoga during his
Jyoti
meditation, during his visits to the hostel. And then he tries to reach that ultimate stage of
Samadhi.
Mm. And then he starts practicing. This happened in the Vrindavan College.
Okay.
This brother's name is Mayur Pandya.
Mm.
Over to Mayur Pandya.
Just after I joined Swami's college, within a year, I got interested in some yoga asanas. And then I read a few books about Kundalini Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of aroused a newfound interest in me. And I was fascinated to see this new perspective about spirituality. So even as I was reading about Kundalini Yoga, Swami had given a discourse on Jyoti meditation and how we take the Jyoti throughout the body and cleanse ourselves.
Focus on the lamp.
On the lamp and take it through the different parts of the body to do the cleansing.
Right.
And along with that, he had also spoken about meditation. So taking that as the background, I decided to pursue that more seriously. In Vrindavan, we had the main hostel building, and next to that, there was another new hostel building that was half constructed and yet not occupied. What I decided to do is to use one of those empty rooms, lock myself up and sit on the floor and put a candle there and start meditating on the candle. And then imagining the Jyoti going through my whole body and cleansing just as Swami had instructed. I noticed that because of the draft of the wind, and it was shaking a lot. So I decided to take a hardcover notebook and I tore off the cover. And I kept it in such a way that the candle was protected from the wind with the cardboard around it. And so my sadhana continued for weeks and months and for a very long time. Each time the length of the meditation was longer and longer. And the hope was constant that at some point I would get this beautiful Kundalini experience. So I continued that day, and this one particular day I remember, I was sitting down and I was praying hard and meditating on that, and I closed my eyes. And as I continued my meditation, I found that in front of me with my closed eyes near the forehead, I could see the bright light, and it became bigger and bigger, and suddenly it was warmer until it became so hot that I was forced to open my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I found that the candle in front of me and the cardboard was all burnt down into one flame.
Oh my God.
So when that happened, I was thoroughly disappointed because that was not the Kundalini experience that I had read about in the book. So in that disappointment, I decided, oh, forget it. I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe a week later, I was standing in the portico, and Swami would, in those days, would, when he comes down, instead of going straight for darshan, he would stand at the entrance of the mandir and talk casually, joking, laughing. So on this day, he was standing there, and suddenly in the 300, out of the 300 of us standing in the portico, Swami suddenly pulled up and said, "Hey Mayur, come here." So as I walked up, he said it in Telugu, "Neeku knack ledu na nu crack aipotaru." You don't have knack, you're going to become a crack. And I was wondering why Swami is calling me a crackpot in front of everybody. And then he went on to explain that, see, if you go on staring at a candle, you will become a nervous wreck.
And you had told Swami about your
experiment? No, I had not.
Experiment?
I had not. So he's here is them doing some sadhana quietly alone. No one in the hostel knows. And your Swami is showing his omnipresence by correcting me. And a guru knows exactly what you're doing. So, and I'm thrilled because he's caught me exactly at that mistake that I was doing in the sadhana. He sat down after that and he gave a beautiful discourse on Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga, the Eightfold Path.
Oh.
And almost for an hour and a half, it was standing in front of Swami. Swami is there and all the others watching. So it was the benefit for all the students. But he said from Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So this Eightfold Path, you have to go from stage to stage. You don't want to jump up the ladder.
Right.
And so he explained what Yama was, what Niyama was, and how you should have the basis is first the purity of life, the disciplined life, and then you go into the asana, and then you go up progress. And that was very, very thrilling and moving because I had not spoken about it to Swami, and yet Swami knew exactly what I was doing, and in his omnipresence, he deemed it fit to correct me in this loving manner. So that's a very precious moment.
The divine master.
He's a divine master. He knows it before we can even tell him about it.
You know, and one more thing before just listening to that, you know, when we talk about wrong understanding, one incident comes to my mind. You know, we always whenever give a program to Swami, and then in the end of the program, be it a farewell or any music program or anything, we'll all, you know, in unison, there'll be such a sweet thing for us to do that we sometimes hold placards and say, "We love you, Swami." We'll all shout. And sometimes Swami will say, okay, sometimes he'll just brush it aside, all drama sort of. So once it seems he told one boy, you know, about something, some discussion had come. And then Swami told him that, you know, the statement which I remember he told me was, I just quote the statement, "You say you love me. You say you love me. The real I is always awake, but you are always asleep. How can you love me?" When I heard this, it was like mind-boggling. You know, when you are not even come out of your slumber, the real love can come only when you know who you are. Then only the real universal love. You know, or the way we're discussing about the sister's experience. She understood love as something which is more worldly. Talking about reading romantic novels and all that.
Where Swami talks about transcendental love.
So, you know, Swami, this statement, you know, was so, hit me so much. I still remember the statement. I can just tell again. You say you love me, but the real I, the big I, is always awake. You can imagine as a big I, which is Swami. You are always asleep. Means we are all in slumber. We have not even woken up. We are still in that ignorance. You know, ignorance is going to come next. How can you love me? So we can love him only when we get awakened from this sleep. Yeah. So this, I think, I thought I'll share.
I think that is the actual knowledge that Swami is trying to give us.
Yes, yes.
Swami tells us that for any knowledge which we are starting to learn, the fundamentals or the basics or the roots have to be very strong.
Yes.
So even for spiritual knowledge, such kind of foundation is required. Because once you go in the wrong way, ignorance will envelop us.
Correct.
And we'll be lost in something else. So we'll come to the next aspect, that is how Swami protects us by removing the ignorance in our minds, how Swami reveals the true identity of all of us. Swami, every now and then, every time in his discourses, Swami addresses us as Prema Swarupulara, Divyatma Swarupulara. Means you are the embodiments of the divine Atma. You all, I know that I am God, but you all do not know that you are God. To reveal such a profound lesson, we shall listen to Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram's experience, which she had during one of the summer courses. How Swami revealed to her in a very, very loving and very cute way, how we are all the embodiments of that true divine love.
Okay.
So, over to Geeta Mohan Ram.
So, this is to do with Ahimsa. Ahimsa. And ahimsa is actually one part of niyama. Mm. You know, one of the niyamas which we follow is ahimsa. Mm.
And on the way, I learned many lessons, simple lessons, which my simple mind could understand. One wonderful lesson I learned was when I was in the summer course. You know, Swami always tells us that don't destroy wantonly what you cannot create. Even a small thing you cannot create, don't destroy. Of course, I've heard it all my life. I thought I was quite a pro in non-violence. I knew everything there was to know about. I had heard so many speeches. So I was in the summer course, my friend and I were there. And that particular day, the subject at the summer course was non-violence. So we heard speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker about non-violence. And in the evening, my friend and I would sit down and make notes of the day. So as we sat in the grass in Vrindavan, we were talking about the different things we want, the points that we wanted to make. And when you sit in the grass, you know, your hands don't stay still. So we were both pulling out the grass as we talked. So between the two of us, we had a nice big pile of grass in between. We talked. My friend, who was a very good girl, you know, I don't know how she became my friend in my company, but she was a very good girl. She said, look at this, Geeta, we have talked about non-violence all day and we have pulled out so much grass. I said, you know, why all the time you are talking about philosophy? You know? Just grass. Don't make a big fuss. You know? That was the end of the conversation. Now every day in the summer course, we had to get up at 4 o'clock, we had to have our cold shower, bath or whatever, and then go and sit in the main tent, where they would do 21 repetitions of the Om, and then there would be Jyoti meditation and Gayatri repetition and all that. So what I would do, I was not a person who was going to be doing any meditation and all that. I wanted to sleep. So I would go and sit at the back of the hall. And, you know, I knew exactly, I had timed it the first few days, you know, Omkaram 21, Omkaram 21, Gayatri, then 5 minutes of Jyoti, silence, everything took about 22 minutes. Huh? I would take a nice snooze at the back for 22 minutes, close my eyes and have a nice nap. So every day I would go there at the back and sit in the last row. So that day also very nicely I made, everybody would make a beeline for the front row, I would for the back. Then I would sit there. So as I was happily taking my little nap that day, I had a tap on my shoulder. I turn around and who should be there is this Swami standing right behind me. Caught me red-handed sleeping in meditation. I was so clutching my badge, you know. I'm losing my badge. I thought he's going to kick me out of the summer course. What is my father going to say? My father was one of the people who were in the selection board and he had not selected me. Swami had given me a badge as a special badge. I'm going to lose it, I thought. Swami put his finger on his lips and said, shh, don't make noise, come outside. Because if I make noise, all the people who are doing Jyoti meditation will turn the other side when they see Swami. So he said, come out. So I came out. Right next to the tent, there was a whole area of rose plants. We came out. Then he said, hey, what did you do yesterday? Oh, so I thought, oh, it seems to be I'm safe. He's not talking about the sleeping. So yesterday, Swami, I couldn't remember. But of course, you don't tell Swami I didn't do anything. Because he knows I don't remember. So I said, I don't remember, Swami. No, no, what were you doing with your friend? He said. Oh, then I said, I was talking to my friend, Swami. I was all the time talking. I was talking to my friend. Not talking. Did you not say just grass? Pulled out all the grass, destroyed all the... Didn't you say just grass? I said, yes, Swami, I pulled out the grass. I said, how can you pull out? Do you know that it is a living thing? It is not an inanimate thing. Come here. He took me to the rose bush. And he touched a tiny little bud in the rose plant, which is nowhere near blooming. You know, it is so tiny. He touched it. And just like you would see in a video, the rosebud began to grow and grow and grow, get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right in front of my eyes, blossomed into a beautiful red rose. The foolish thing that comes out of my mouth, I say, Swami, you can do it, I can't do it. Look at our craziness. Then he says, no, no, you can do it too. Come here. He holds my hand and makes me touch another rosebud, same small bud. Same thing happens, it grows and grows bigger, bigger, bigger and opens out. And I said, what is this, Swami? He said, no, do you know that when you show love to anything in this world, it will respond But you have to show it love like I show this rose bush love. That is what you have to learn. To learn to show love. Nothing in this world, there is in this world that will not respond to love. That's what you have to learn. Don't destroy things that you cannot. You cannot even create anything small. Picture you cannot draw. How can you destroy? Go and sit down. So I survived the summer camp. But I learned a great lesson and tried as much as I could never to hurt anything if I possibly could, at least knowingly. Unknowingly, of course, many times we do that.
So having known that we are none other than the embodiments of love.
Correct.
And we can transform anything through that divine love which is there in us. Now going back to the knowledge, the sahana vavatu, the jnanam. This is the ultimate knowledge that anybody can give us.
Can aspire for also, yes.
Yes, because Swami tells that the ultimate dharma itself is prema dharma, atma dharma. So that ultimate love Swami is trying to teach us in a wonderful way. I think once we get the right understanding, once the ignorance is dispelled from our minds,
yes,
and we are in the right direction, I think we are all set to acquire that wonderful knowledge.
The jnana phalam, we can call it the jnana. Means we come to the last, you know, the last, according to our Shanti Mantra, the second aspect of it. But because we have gone in our order, where we come to the culmination of the whole mantra. So Ganesh, so beautiful in a small Shanti Mantra, the whole, you know, the whole journey of a pilgrim, if you call it, the journey of a soul from being, starting to having an aspiration to gain knowledge to the final culmination of getting the complete intuitive spontaneous knowledge. You know, it is all encompassed in a small mantra of Sahana Vavatu Sahano Bhunaktu. So yeah, but one thing is what we talk about Sahano Bhunaktu is let the knowledge gained not be intellectual understanding. You know, many times what happens, Swami always says, Chadvi Chadvi Chavanganetki. Means we keep studying and it's good for nothing. It's only for good for even not even good for dying. But we should always aspire for that knowledge which gives you immortality. So this is what we have come to, the final culmination. So but in this aspect, you know, I think Swami has also touched in the discourse. You talk about Asurik Sampat, you know, those negative qualities which we have to avoid. To actually, we have the correct understanding. We are able to remove the wheel of ignorance, and then we are able to concentrate the mind, removing it from distractions
in the right direction.
But there are still few inner foes, inner enemies, which we have to be very careful and alert when we take our strides. So we'll discuss about it in the next episode. What are those? And then we'll go into the mantra proper from next episode onwards. Ganesh?
Actually, Bhargav, one thought that struck me, the one aspect with which an individual enters this world, he shouts out, Koham, 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 who am I, who am I, who am I, into this university of the universe.
Yeah.
And then he tries to understand who he is. And then finally he leaves his body telling soham, soham, soham. I am that. So this sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, this mantra is not only for a student, but for every individual.
Yeah.
As you were telling, the entire journey of a soul is described in this one world. Shanti mantra.
Yeah. So beautiful.
So I think this applies to each and every one of us. And every day is a learning moment for us. So I think we request the listeners to please do ponder upon certain beautiful things that would have happened in your life, which would have given you that realization or that spark.
Yeah.
I think if we focus and just look back at whatever had happened in our lives, we will surely find out so many striking incidents and moments which would have given us that realization.
Yeah, so beautiful.
So please do share such kind of wonderful moments with all of us. Please do write your feedback and your insights to listener at ssmediacenter.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. I think with these few words, we shall bring this episode to a close with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram. Om. यदक्षरपदभ्रष्टं मात्राहीनं तु यद्भवेत् तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोऽस्तु ते विसर्गबिन्दुमात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व साईश्वर अपराधसहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निषन्मया दासोऽयमिति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व साईश्वर अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्ष साईश्वर हरिः ओं तत्सत् श्रीसाईश्वरार्पणमस्तु. From a few moments from now, you'll be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandeshchari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.
प्यार का सागर है तू प्यार का सागर है तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तू प्यार का सागर है तू प्यार का सागर है तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम
तू प्यार का सागर
धरती जिस पर तुमने साई जन्म लिया तुमने जन्म लिया दीन दुखी को गले लगाया युग उपकार किया युग उपकार किया चांद और सितारे भी चांद और सितारे भी तेरी जयकार करेंगे सदा तेरी जयकार करेंगे सदा तू प्यार का सागर है मात पिता साईं तुम ही प्राण सखा तुम ही प्राण सखा सब है पराए तुम ही तो अपने तुमने प्यार दिया तुमने प्यार दिया कहते ही रहेंगे सदा कहते ही रहेंगे सदा कि तुमसे हो न कभी भी जुदा कि तुमसे हो न कभी भी जुदा तू प्यार का सागर है तू प्यार का सागर है तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तू प्यार का सागर है तू प्यार का सागर है